Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it is a blessing to be with you on today. God is good and worthy to be praised, and God is good all of the time, and all of the time, God is good. I'm happy to be with you on today, and I want to thank you for tuning in, those of you who are streaming, those of you who are gathering in the chat room, those of you who are listening via the archive. I want to thank you for tuning in on today, and I'm joined by my co-host on today. You know, I have two fabulous co-hosts, Biblical Life Coach Tina Michelle, and also Prophetess Angie Singletary. So I'm just blessed to have these women here in my corner with me as we go forward to do this ministry via the Blog Talk Radio airways. And God knows exactly what he is doing. Amen. He knows what he is doing. So just don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by all of the blessings that God has in store for you. So we welcome you. And I want to encourage you to let somebody know about Woman to Woman. Call up your friends, send out some emails. Do somebody a favor on a Thursday morning. Send them an email to let them know that blogtalkradio.com has this broadcast that comes on every single Thursday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, and that they want to be a part of it. They want to come in and partake of what the Lord preparing for women everywhere across the globe. Amen. So we're excited. I want to invite you to come over and fellowship with us. If you're in the New Jersey area, come on over to New Creation Christian Ministries at 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I want to also advertise the fact that I have written some books. They are great books of ministry, especially for women. So if you want to be blessed by that ministry, you can visit my website at dpc-books.com. And we're just going to just pray that the Lord blesses you in every way during this particular season in your life. Amen and praise God. God, I want to say good morning to my co-host, Tina Michelle. You're on the air. God bless you, woman of God.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is only 10 o'clock here, so it is still morning. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning. It is a good morning. It is a great day to be alive.
Yes,
it is a great day to be alive, and I was happy when I opened my eyes on this morning just to say, God, thank you. Thank you. I had a long night, Tina Michelle. I woke up off of my couch at 2 o'clock in the morning and did not go to bed. I was wide awake, and I came into my office, and I was in the office until about 4 a.m., and then when I did go to bed, I was wired, and I couldn't sleep. So I just laid there and you know, prayed and just tried to make myself go to sleep. And I think I fell asleep about 40 minutes later. And then next thing I know, Caleb was waking me up to tell me to get up and get ready to take her to school. So, but God, you know, I'm excited. I have an anticipation in my spirit about what God is doing through his people and for his people during this time.
Amen, amen. It's a momentous time. It's a wonderful time. Just even looking at the events of change, the inauguration and everything else. And, you know, I know a lot of people have certain hopes and expectations around the man. But I said, you know, it would hit me that morning as I was watching it. There was history being made, and it was awesome to me.
Yes.
But more importantly, it's the season of change. Not so much the position of president, because a president is a politician, no matter what. But when I think of the name Barak, which is a biblical name, right, which means blessing, I couldn't think of, oh, Barak is the president. A black man's a president. No, I just kept thinking of people are saying the word Barak in agreement.
Yes.
over Amen. And over and over and over again. And the law of God does not change. So when you repeat something and people are in agreement, even if they're unaware, the sun will shine on the just and the unjust alike. We are pronouncing blessing on the earth and blessing on this country over and over. So from just a positional standpoint, it just sort of hit me.
Yes.
The people are walking around saying, blessing, 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 Barack, 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 blessing, blessing. And that is a great opportunity because people are primed for change.
Yes, amen, amen, hallelujah. And that's a wonderful observation, you know. It's just so true. It's so solid, a solid observation that people are blessing the Lord and they don't even know it. God says everybody must bow. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And even unknowingly, they are bowing down to God. And it's powerful. It really is powerful when you think about it that way. And I enjoyed the inauguration. I did watch it. And I was blessed by it. I saw, and I talked about this yesterday on the Life More Abundantly radio broadcast, I saw a season of change being ushered in. I saw the end of, I saw God doing something in the area of healing for racism and hatred and discrimination that has plagued this United States America for so long, for too long. Amen. And you know, I just saw people of all creeds, people of all colors, coming together and being united together. You know, are people willing to come together as a community? I saw the United States of America willing to come together as one big community and to try, at least to attempt, to make a difference in the way that we do life. And it was powerful for me. I mean, almost 2 million people gathered in one place on one accord. A lot of security, but not one incident of violence. It was powerful. It was just powerful. So whether he was black or white or what have you, the fact that so much healing came in that, actually not one day because it's been happening for about 2 years, but so much healing has occurred over the past 2 years that the races now, I believe that there is more unity amongst the races, you know, that the races now are coming together and as one people, you know. And that was the prayer of Jesus, that his disciples, that the disciples would be one as he and the Father and the Holy Ghost are one, you know. And it's just so important that, you know, that we take this lesson as Christians from the world, you know, because that's really what we're looking at. When we're looking at politics, we're looking at the world, but we take this lesson from an occurrence that happened in the world and see it not just as a natural, but as a spiritual occurrence.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's just so powerful because you look at that same prayer that you're referencing about Jesus. I can't remember where it was, but I know he was praying in the garden right before his crucifixion, and he was saying that they would know you as I know you, and they will be one. Mm. And it wasn't an option, and that's what people don't understand. Unity is not an option.
Yeah,
you know, to come into the unity of the spirit, and then the bonds. I mean, the word bond is serious. It's like shackles, like handcuffs. The bond of peace. So being compelled to carry out the word of peace amongst your brethren, that was not an option. Those were mandates that God gave us. And then we look in the book of Hosea when he says, like the priests, like the people, if the priests don't get it, don't be surprised when the folk don't get it.
Yeah.
So those inside, so it's just awesome to see it come about. You know, one thing that I always like to tell people is that we are a race of humans, not color, you know, just a race of humans.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we have to look at, that this whole thing that we are looking at is dividing lines amongst people. You think about, as African-American people in this country, there are some serious facts here. You got 374 years of slavery. You've got 40 years of legal participation in society. But you think about, in only 40 years, there is a man of color in a presidential seat.
Yes.
That is amazing progress. Amazing progress for all people. It's not just a symbol for black people. It's not a symbol for African people, German people. It's a symbol for the progress of our mindset here in this country. So it's a perfect platform. And I believe it's what Dr. Martin Luther King saw when he said, I have a dream.
Mm.
You know, that young black boys and black girls would be playing together. We're finally there where yeah. it's not so much that it's the actual physical action of doing, it's the environment of availability.
Yes.
So we have that here. So now it's up to us as individuals to sort of take that on and go, hey, what is this about? What is this fighting really about? Especially Christians. Because we are bound together by the same daddy. We have the same daddy, right? The same spirit in us and the word. That's our blueprint. It's our common ground. It's our place to it's the threshing floor. The word of God is the threshing floor of all truth, right? We can come
yeah.
together in a way and be that light now in unity and love to be an example to continue this movement. In the name of Jesus, not just in the name of man, because, you know, they've done this before, you know, in the Bible. They all got together and gathered themselves together and say, we will make our name bigger than God. That was called the Tower of Babel, right?
Right. They wanted to
and
build
God,
a tower to reach heaven, yes. And God,
yeah, and God looked
language.
At them.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's right.
He said,
but
wait a minute. What do they think they're going to do without me? And that's what God is saying now. You know, he's still, you know, we just in a time of celebration, we just have to continue to remember that God is still saying, okay, yes, okay, so you have your king now. You're uniting together as people.
Uh-huh.
But know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can do nothing without me. You know, and that's the thing that we have to realize. We can do nothing without
Amen.
God, and we have to, and that's what he's bringing us back to. You know, he's bringing us back to, and I believe the inauguration, again, that's not our topic for today, but as we're on this topic, I believe that it was beautiful because there was a prayer, there was a prayer invocation. It was. There was a lot of concern about whether or not the name of Jesus would be used, and of course, he said it in a few languages.
Amen. He said it several times. Rick Warren said it over and over.
He said, in the name of Jesus. So I was pleased with that he did say, in the name of Jesus. Now, there was a lot of inclusion language there. But you know what? God, the prayer covered the homosexual, and the prayer covered everybody. So I believe that prayer was heard by God because it was prayed in the name of Jesus. And even the speech, when President Obama made the speech, he said for believers and non-believers that he had been risen up to make a difference in the life of everybody. He believed that he believes that he's called to serve the United States of America, and that's his position. And now he knows what he believes, and we have to know what we believe and go with that. You know, we have to know who we are. We know what our purpose is on this earth as Christians, especially as Christian women. And we have to know what we believe, and we have to stand on what we believe. So it's a glorious time. I just agree with you. I want to. It's a glorious time. I want to greet everybody in the chat room and say good morning to everybody. I want to thank Evangelist Jose Luciano for joining us, as well as Second Advent, our guest 860, and Pastor O'Shea Morgar. I want to thank you all and say hello and good day to you all. My co-host Tina Michelle and I were just chatting about the inauguration as we start out today's broadcast. We want to invite you to call in today's topic. I do have a topic for today, Tina Michelle. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at the internet. Today's topic is, my friend has problems. Should I tell her the truth or just ignore it? You know, this is something that I need to deal with on today. We need to deal with this as women. I want to welcome Mrs. Conscious and also Mrs. D. Neal. God bless you both and welcome. And woman to woman, should I tell my friend the truth or just ignore her problems. And as you know, on Woman to Woman, we flow a lot. But today, because this is one of the reasons that I could not sleep, is because I found myself caught up in something and I needed to talk about it. And I wanted to, I know it's common for women, for us as women, what we're going to talk about on today. And I wanted to scripturally go and have a dialogue about this particular topic. So let us just go move forward. The phone lines are going to be open, and we will invite everybody to call in and be a part of this conversation today. If you have a response for that question, should you tell your friend? You know your friend is wrong. She has some problems. There's some things going on. Should you tell her, or should you just keep quiet and ignore it? Let us pray. Father God, we praise your name, Lord. We worship you, and we thank you, Lord, even for the inauguration and President Barack Obama, and we pray that you will continually give him wisdom which to lead this nation of the United States of America. We pray for protection for him and his family, God, and we pray, Father God, for continued unity amongst the people of the United States of America, and especially amongst the people of your kingdom. So, God, we thank you for every listener, for everybody who's here on today, and we ask, Father God, that you would give us ears to hear what it is that you have to say through this platform on today. I bless my co-host Tina Michelle and Prophetess Angie Singletary. Bless, Father God, all who are here on in the chat room, all who are listening via the archive, and everybody that will call. Bless them in the name of Jesus, and everyone that is streaming, God, save souls, change lives, and set the captives free. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Tina Michelle, what do you think about that? I mean, we have a lot of people in our lives that are going through certain things in life, and sometimes you run across somebody and you know that you know that you know. And I'm talking about Christians, maybe not a Christian, but you know that you know that you know that they're living wrong, that there's some things going wrong in their lives, that they are wrong. What do you do? Do you tell the person, or do you keep it to yourself? Do you just ignore it? Another question is, and I want to present this to everybody, what if you have a friend and you know a girlfriend, and she is getting ready to marry somebody, and you know that that man is no good, and he has, as a matter of fact, he's winked at you, and he's asking you for your phone number, or maybe you saw him at a restaurant in an intimate setting with somebody, or maybe you saw him hugging and kissing somebody or flirting with somebody. Do you tell your friend, or do you just ignore your friend's husband if you catch him in a compromising position? Do you tell? You know, to what extent do we tell the truth, or to what extent? It's mind our own business and not say anything. And this is something like I said, is on my heart because we have to be careful of gossip. You know, the Bible talks about gossip, and it talks about a fool's lips makes bring him strife. In Proverbs 18, verse 6, it says, a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. And it goes on in verse 8 to say, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. And sometimes we get caught up in gossip, thinking that we're speaking the truth in love, but we're gossiping about the person, and we're not really going to the person, talking to the person directly. And this is something that happened to me just yesterday. That's why I want to talk about it, because I found myself examining myself and say, hey, wait a minute, are you concerned about that person, or are you just having some fun, you know, maybe enjoying this morsel, this tasty tidbit of information, and enjoying this gossip? Is it gossip, or is it really prayerful concern? And you know, where do we draw the line? Go ahead, Tina Michelle. Let me just hear your take on that before we, as we get into this topic.
Well, I want to lay down a bit of a framework before I answer it, so that we're on the same page, right?
Yes.
Just like we talked about the Tower of Babel, confusing the language. That's confusion, right? Because the intent was wrong. There's another example of that in the New Testament, but the reverse, the upper room. The upper room experiences where the people were gathered, but instead of them focusing on man and elevating man, they were focusing on waiting and hearing and tarrying before the presence of God, hashing all doctrine out so that they will be on the same playing field, right?
Yes.
Making all things in common. And then when they left that room, this is the most powerful part of that scripture in the book of Acts. They spoke a language that the people around them in the community could understand. And
uh-huh.
then thousands were added to the church. So I just wanted to lay that down. When you call someone a friend, first of all, things should be in common. You cannot be a friend with someone, a friend. I'm not talking about someone that's in your circle, that's an associate, that you're ministering to, that's a disciple. I'm saying a friend.
Yes.
And not have an equal playing field or equal foundation in the Word of God. That's the first
mm-hmm.
thing. Because I've been in these situations. I understand. I feel you. And the truth is always the truth. Now, if it's coming from somebody else, pray it through. This is what I do. I pray it through. Father, what's the truth? You know, there has to be two or more witnesses in reference to the character of this person for me to be able to move on it. And if so, I am always going to directly, in love, not with my own stuff, not trying to tear it down, because that's another thing we got to do. We got to make sure we're not bringing our own pain and bitterness to the table, because I've seen that too, where people were not, they were saying they were happy for a young lady who was getting married, but really they couldn't find a man.
Mm-hmm.
So they just kept bad-mouthing, you know, the situation. Make sure your stuff is not at the table. I'm not saying you, a person.
Yeah, no,
you know,
yeah,
just a person.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Your stuff is not at the table, so that you're speaking in truth and love for yourself. And then when you say it to them, you make sure you're having a conversation with them that's edifying, revealing, and don't be married to the outcome. She may not agree with you. She may not change her mind. But our responsibility is to tell the truth, not necessarily
okay.
To make them change their mind. The Holy Spirit does that thing. You know?
Okay.
Paul
so,
plants, Apollo waters, God makes it grow.
Basically, right. So what you're saying is that you should tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
You should tell. If you have someone, and maybe they're not a friend, maybe they're an associate that you care about, maybe it's a friend in Christ, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we, you know, every woman that we know and every woman that we associate with is not a friend. So maybe it's not a friend. Maybe just somebody you know, and you know that they're caught up in the wrong. Maybe you know that they're shacking, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe you know that they're living with somebody who's not their husband, but they're coming to church every Sunday singing in the choir. You know,
singing
what
hallelujah.
Do you do? You know, singing hallelujah. You know, what do you do? Do you get involved with
true.
That? Do you go to that person and say, you know what? You know, I know none of my business, but, you know, how do you do that? How sing in the choir and praise the Lord every week and laugh and smile in the people's faces and then leave out of here and know that you're living in sin and you've been shacking up with this person for 3 years? I mean, do you do that? Is that the right way to approach it? Or, I mean, that's what I want to ask. But let me give you a few things. I want to lay some foundation also because I have prayed on this. And I want to say hello
yes.
to Jay Strickland. I also want to say hello to Joe and Maggie Cruz and also to G. God bless you, G. What's happening? What to do when your friend is wrong? This is what God showed me. He gave me 8 things. I'm just going to go through them, and then we'll go back over them and everything. But the first thing that he told me to do is be discerning. Be discerning
yeah.
of whether your friend is wrong or whether she just believes differently. You know, in Romans chapter 14, it talks about the differences that we have, even walking in the same faith, you know, that some people think it's okay to eat a certain
right.
food while another person thinks it's not okay.
Right.
One person thinks it's okay to observe a special day, and another person says, you know what, that's not so important to me. So those
yes.
are things that are gray areas in the faith that, you know, we may say, well, she goes to church on Saturday, I go on Sunday, she's wrong, I'm right. But you have to be discerning and go according to the word of whether or not she's wrong. Right. People say it's okay to drink a little bit of wine or eat meat, and somebody else says it's not okay. But the Bible is clear, and it tells us not to let what we believe to be okay to be a stumbling block someone
right.
else who doesn't believe that's to be okay. So first thing we have to do, be discerning whether or not friend is wrong, or whether they just believe differently. And I got that from Romans 14 and 15. The second thing that we have to do is check your motives. Check your motives, which means examine your heart. You talked about that, Tina Michelle, when you said examine your heart. Is it you? Are you just jealous because she got a husband and you've been waiting on a husband? Are you jealous because she's been promoted and you haven't, because you think she's more anointed, because she's getting more claps, more applause, and more praise than you are? Check your heart. Check your motives. And the Bible, Proverbs talks about that. Check your motives. Number three, check yourself. Examine your own life. And I mean, Jesus talks about this. He said, how dare you talk about a speck in your brother's eye when you have this little plank. You got this big old 2x4 in your eye, and you're being judgmental of somebody else. So he says, you hypocrite. He said, first deal with your own stuff. And then you'll be able to go ahead and help somebody else with their little speck. But you got a whole bunch of stuff in your life that you need to deal with. So sometimes we're so busy looking outward that we don't see what's going on in our own life. Four, ask God for wisdom. James said if we lack wisdom, that we should ask God for wisdom. Five, speak the truth in love. You talked about that again, Tina Michelle. Ephesians 4 says that we should speak the truth in love. Now, again, you got to do those first few steps first, because I'm just speaking the truth in love, and you know that you hate that woman. You've been jealous of her for a while. I'm just speaking the truth in love. You watching her face fall to the ground and her being devastated on this whole thing. Those five, I'll stop right there and let you put some input in. And I have three more after that, Tina Michelle. Oh. I know you have something to say.
Dead on. I mean, when you think about it, I've been pretty, you know, we've been in the church for a long time, you and I both, right? And I really believe that the burden of responsibility also shifts with the position, though we all have the responsibility of upholding the word of God and living our life righteous. I think that the burden as a pastor, because you see what's going on with the people, and those people are in your physical account of souls that you can see every week, is even more monumental than me as an individual who may wait for it to if it comes into my space, then it's for me to deal with. If it's not in my space, I'm not going to go out and go find somebody to judge.
Wow.
Because when the Holy Spirit brings it to me, then I know it's Him. Anything else, I'm very afraid to use prayer as a platform for wickedness. Because I've seen it, where people say, let's pray about sister such and such, and it's really a prayer of witchcraft, because they're just gossiping, okay? Mm-hmm. I can't stand that. Oh, that thing makes me mad. Mm-hmm. That thing makes me mad. If I hear it or see it, I mean, that's something I will go across the room and call out. You know you don't have the heart to pray for that sister. Now, if she has a need, let's go and handle it, but stop running your mouth, okay? That's one thing that will make me upset. But, again, I wait when God says, Tina, yes, this is something that's going on, especially if you're not in my inner circle, my friendship circle, because I want to make sure that I'm bringing, our job is to bring deliverance, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we may root out and pull down and tear down, but through the word of God, but it's God's work, and He's going to use us not unto death, not to kill that person's spirit, but unto life.
Mm.
So if I can't be used in that way to glorify God, because I did not get saved, Pastor Rebecca, for the devil to use me.
Amen. Praise God.
I did not get saved to do that, and there's too much of that in the church, especially amongst, I would say, I can't say in the church, just in humanity amongst women. We just have this little observation deck called the church that we can observe it in like almost a case study, because we see it every week. But that happens at work. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's just when we as Christians, we are accountable. We cannot bring our stuff to the table. See, what you're saying is dead on. Discern what it is, because we have to know. That's why I said about the book of Acts, all things in common. If you don't have all things in common, then what are you judging? If the person is not a child of God, the word says we're not called to judge them. The word says we're called to judge each other.
Yeah, and I want you to hold that thought, because we do have a call. I want to put this caller on, but you're right, and we're going to talk about this some more. We're going to talk. I want you to call in. I really do. We really do.
Yeah.
Tina Michelle, and I want you to call in. Let us know what you're dealing with and how you're dealing with your sisters. You know, this is women to women. How with our sisters, and we do have men that listen. Pastor Anthony is here. Hi, honey. He's not on the air.
Hi, Pastor Anthony.
He's always covering on Thursdays, and we got a call. It's a man. I believe it's Evangelist Jose Luciano. God bless you, Evangelist.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless
Amen.
You.
God bless you. God bless you, all the women of God on the air. God bless each and every one of you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to share some comment that you was talking about, our prophets was talking about within your circle.
Yes.
Now, I'm trying to word this correctly without being stirring up the pot too much. But,
Amen.
For example, we have to define the word gossip in this original text. You know, what does the Bible define? Remember, how the world looks at things is opposite to what God sees things. So we have to see not what the world thinks gossip is, but we have to look at it within the light of the gospel.
Yes, now, exactly.
Now, there is, like, for example, if you know, I use the example a pastor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor knows, or he heard through the grapevine, not as a type of a gossip, but just a alert. Maybe the pastor was not alert. Maybe the pastor was not aware what was happening, but somebody went to the pastor, not as a type of a gossip, but to let him know sister or brother so-and-so is going through something. Or he saw so-and-so do something. Now, I don't think that's gossip because, you know, there's witnesses. It's not something that you are starting you're not going to another person. You're actually
going you're not railing them. Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to a leader.
Right.
You're not going to marry Joseph and anybody else, but you go to the pastor, you go to the leader.
Oh, yeah.
And you let the leader know this was happening. Now,
yes.
if you're the type of person that the pastor says, okay, thank you, and then you go and tell somebody else, now I consider that a gossip. Because now you took it from where it's supposed to go to, and you like you continue it to, and again, by the time the story comes around, it's something different from where you actually started from. So,
yes.
I think it's a protocol concerning in the area of sharing information. Now,
exactly.
If I know a brother, okay, the Bible makes it clear the protocol how to deal with a brother if he's in sin or you hear that he has committed sin. The Bible tells us how to do it. First, you go to him.
Yes.
Okay. And then if that doesn't work, you bring a witness with you.
Yes.
So there's a way that you conduct or you confront people that may be going through struggling time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, our purpose is to bring healing, not to spread
not to hurt them.
Business out there. So I think
Amen.
You have to really define what gossip really is, biblically speaking, and that's what I just want to share.
Amen. And that's beautiful because gossip is. I looked up the word. It really in the King James. Is not there, but they have in place of that, they have tale bearer, someone
uh-huh.
who's running around, just telling tales, just talking about people. And then I looked up the word slander, which we all know, which is to, talk about somebody in a way where you ruin their reputation. So you go and you slander people. But when we think about also got evil, and also the Bible talks about talking evil of people and being busybodies. The
That's
Bible
that motivation
talks about
thing.
Being other people's business. And the thing about it is, like, let me just tell you about an experience I had. I have I had a friend who used to be abusive to me. This was a long time ago, before I became a Christian, and she was my friend even while I was a Christian. She would say things to me like, when I was pregnant, she called me fat, and then she was in a relationship with her husband where she was very abusive to her husband, and he would, come to us for counsel. And so we got the inside track, and as a matter of fact, we would sit down and speak with both of them. Now, in my heart, I really didn't like the way that she treated her husband. And I would tell her, you know, in just a very nice way. But one day I told her, you know, just flat out that you're wrong. You know, you're wrong for the way that you treat him. Like you said, the Bible tells us to go to that brother, to go to that sister and tell them what the offense is, what they have done that we consider to be wrong. And I just told her. And, you know, it was that day that I believed that person was not my friend anymore. Because she became offended by the fact that I was saying that she, you know, that I didn't think that she treated her husband properly. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. Now, when we speak the truth in love, what truth are we talking about? We're talking about the truth according to God's word,
Our
opinion.
Amen.
I spoke the truth in love to her according to God's word. And like you said, Tina Michelle, I could not be married to the outcome because she rejected the truth and she rejected me as her friend as a result of that. And, you know, I didn't lose anything because we have to, like you said, be certain that we're not holding on to friendships that God has already done away with. That God has already said, you know what, it's the end of that friendship. This is not to go any further. I'm looking in the chat room, and he says that he, you know, they get on their own nerves. I don't know if G's or D or
yes.
email.
Yes.
but G says, I get on my own nerves. And, you know, the thing about it is, to what point, I mean, do we even know? Let's look at it on the side. Would you be willing to receive, Evangelist Luciana, Tina, Michelle, would you be able to receive open rebuke? You know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. And somebody comes to you and tells you that you're wrong in the truth, in the word. Do you receive that, or at what point would you not be open to receive it?
You know, I've been in a situation where I received open rebuke. And I was, me personally, because my motivation was to be before God. Yeah, it hurt my feelings at the moment because I thought I was doing everything I was supposed to do, right? Then when I finally sat down and thought about it, I was grateful because I'd rather be corrected than continue wrong. That's just me. I'd rather hear the truth, and you've heard me say that. I'd rather hear the criticism straight out, constructive criticism. Okay, straight out, the truth in the word, then go on a path and think I'm right and not be serving God in the position that he gave me. That's me.
Yes.
That's me. You know, that wasn't easy. That wasn't easy because when I first got saved, you know, I was just fighting demons everywhere. You know, I was witnessing everywhere. I was on fire. You know, I was on fire. You know, but I was also knocking people upside the head with the word where they may have received it that way. I didn't understand. I didn't have any wisdom.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't have any wisdom because I was young, you know, and I was excited about Jesus. Why don't you know Jesus? You're going to hell. You're going to hell, you know.
Yes.
And then I got caught by a seasoned evangelist, 6-year-old woman, and she said, baby, there are sometimes you need strong medicine and sometimes you just need to take your healing drip by drip. Some people will be delivered miraculously through them, through a miracle of intervention, and some people, it will be a process. Don't get in God's way. Don't get in God's way. I received that rebuke because my point was to add souls to the kingdom, not for me to be all holy and righteous. And, you know, I wanted to add souls to the kingdom. I wanted to please my daddy, and it hurt me because I was like, oh, my goodness, you know, I might have stopped the process.
Right.
Because of my attitude.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So we have to make sure that we're open to receive. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the plain respect. You know, we have to be open to receive. We have to constantly go to before the Lord. David did in the book of Psalms. He said, Lord, created me a pure heart with which to worship. You know, help me not to be puffed up. Help me not to be prideful. I another situation where I told the truth to somebody, and again, they were not really willing to receive that truth, you know. And then there have been times when people have talked to me, and I might not have been so ready to receive the truth, but I knew that it was good for me. Tina Michelle, Evangelist, did you have a response for that before I go on to the next? I want to cover these next three items that the Lord showed me about how to deal with your sister, your friend, when you know your friend is wrong.
Yeah, real quickly, you mentioned something about David, which was something I was thinking of. You see, the prophets of God went to two different kings who had failed. And the prophet was very clear. But when the prophets dealt with David, he dealt with him not straightforward like he did with Saul. Saul, he was like hardcore. He told you like it is. And you see how he's reacted. But with David, he did it. This prophet did it a different way. So the key thing is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you confront somebody that again, the prophet and David was you know almost like a family, and he knew that David, in spite that he failed God, he still respected who he was, and he did not disrespect him. By like Saul. Saul, I mean, not only did he really disrespect his calling as a king, but almost as a servant of God. He totally backslid, if you want to use that word.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he went to talk to dead folk.
Yeah.
So actually, the had to be real strong with him. But I mean, the Bible tells us how to confront a brother, and again, the prophet confronted David as a brother and told him not directly that you sinned, but he gave him a illustration. He showed something in the Word, in God's Word, that you know, and it's again, it's, you have to be. The Bible says you got to be wise as serpents and also gentle as doves, knowing that you know, hey, you know, you fell, but. You know, but not to do it as a judgmental, but almost like a to encouragement. It's like within the Hispanic churches, there's a thing that's called discipline. In Spanish, it's disciplina. Most people think when you're in discipline, I don't go to church until I come out of this discipline. But the purpose of discipline is to show that you made a mistake. The purpose of discipline is to put you back in that place again with God.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Not to kick against God and say, you know, God, you know, why the pastor is doing this? Because, you know, God has given you strict orders that if a person fail or sin or did something that's against the Spirit of God and the fellowship of the saints, he should be a moment of almost a reconciling. So what I'm saying is that when you confront somebody, again, the topic is still dealing with believers, but if you go confront a believer and you know fact, and you know the information they got is true, and you know that person's credibility, you know this person's not gossiping, this person, you trust it. Again, you have to trust the source.
Source, and the motivation. Amen.
That's right, and that's what I was, go ahead, Evangelist.
You know, that's about it, but that's what I want to talk about. You know, the information has to be true based on the fact. And then if you go to that person, you need to drag that person with you. He said, so.
That's right.
And again, there's no secrets. You know, it has to be. That person told me this and this and this, and I'm not saying he's a liar, you're a liar. I just want to find out if it's true. If it is, we want to help you.
That's good.
Everything in life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And this is the that's what I was talking about. Number six. I went through five already that the Lord showed me this morning. But number six is to warn. You have to tell your sister. You have to tell your friend when you know that they are wrong or they're heading in the wrong direction. You have to tell them. The Bible says to warn of pending danger. And this is Old Testament, but it still applies because we are the Israel of Christ. So 2 Chronicles talks about warning, warning of danger. It says in 2 Chronicles 19:10. It says, or to warn them not to sin against the Lord. Otherwise, his wrath will come on you and your brothers. Do this, and you will not sin. Ezekiel 3, 18, 19, and 20 talks about saying to a wicked man, God says, when I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. So now it crosses over even from the believer to the unbeliever. And he talks about if you do warn him, then you will be saved, even if he does not turn. And then he even talks about a righteous man in Ezekiel 3:20. It says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. He says, since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. So you have to warn a pending danger. And what did Paul do? Paul openly rebuked Peter. He openly opposed Peter. He says, I openly oppose Peter because of his hypocrisy. And that's something else that we can do with a spirit of discernment. Amen. And also, 2 Thessalonians talks about speaking, warning your brethren. So all of those scriptures that we can look at that talk about being a vessel used by God to say, wrong way, hey, you're going the wrong way. The end of that is 2 Thessalonians 3:15 says, yet do not regard your brother as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. So yeah, we have to be discerning, and we also have to warn a pending danger. Number seven is we have to help where we can. Like Evangelist said, ask, can I help? Is there something that I can help? But it says, be careful not to be entangled in wrongdoing yourself. And we know that comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, where Galatians says, brethren, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritually strong should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. And finally, pray. Pray for your friend. And I love Romans 14:4, which says that, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So when all else fails, pray. You know, go to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, help my friend, help my brother, help my sister. But you got to have a right heart. You can't be all caught up in jealousy and hatred and wanting to get revenge because you think that person did something to you. You got to have a right heart before you deal with the wrong of your brethren, your sister in this case, because we're talking about women. Because women are catty. You know, women are catty. We hold grudges. We hate on each other for no reason.
And there's a reason.
Go ahead, Tina.
There's a reason, you know, and this is what helped me young in my walk with Christ and still continues to help me every day as I renew my mind in this thing, is that hurting people hurt people. So when I see the cattiness, when I see the pain, when I see the animosity, the gossip, the bitterness, I know instead of at one time I would have said, oh, my gosh, you know, she's wrong. She's this, she's that. We all were wrong at one time. We still may be wrong now, just in a different area. So what I look at is what could she be going through? What could she be going through that she has to have all these walls of protection, all this insulation going on? Lord, is it for me to be a catalyst to help her? Help me to minister in the capacity that you want me to minister in. Because if it's not going to be that, I don't want any part of it. The Lord has used me on several occasions to speak the word of truth to people that were in very specific positions. And one time it came out beautiful. It came out beautiful because, first of all, I'm the person who will argue with God all the way down the aisle when he gives me a word. God, why can't you use somebody else? I was that person. I'm not that person anymore. But at one time I was. Why is it going to be me? When God used me in that capacity, I didn't know that pastor was going through that.
Yes.
We had a beautiful weeping festival. People were just talking about this passion. I refuse to partake in it. I will not eat of the fruit of strife or gossip.
Amen.
And it's something that you read. You said, a fool's tongue. We got to remember the language
yes.
of the Bible is specific. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. So you already know their motivation.
Yes.
When they're talking, you can see, what is their motivation? Are they trying to love them? I feel so much love for people and for women when I see them in pain. And how do I see them in pain? There are markers. What are the markers? Bitterness, gossip, railing. Those are markers of pain to me.
Yes, yes. And you have to love, the Bible says that we can prophesy, we can lay hands, we can heal the sick, cast demons, but without love, we're nothing. And love has to be the motivator. We have a couple calls. We have 10 minutes. And the question is, should you correct your, even for those of you who are listening, say, well, I have some men that I would like to speak to about their wrongdoing. Should I correct them? And I pray that you're being blessed and that you're getting some food for spiritual food for thought by this segment. Amen. I want to talk to Strickland. God bless you, Jay Strickland. How are you today? Jay Strickland is at work. She may not be able to come on. Area code 919. Is that Jay Strickland?
That's me.
Amen. You're at work. You can't talk, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. God bless you. I love you, sis. I want to take one second, Tina Michelle. Just got to, before we go off the air, area code 862, Pastor Anthony. I know you've been listening. God bless you, man of God. Honey. Pastor Anthony, are you there?
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm here.
Amen. Hallelujah. I know you have something to add to this. What are your comments about what we've been talking about on today?
It's a powerful discussion. Like you said, directly in the Bible, you see so many examples of open rebuke. But again, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about doing so much and having the basis of love by what we do, you know, why we do what we do. So it's just an awesome thing. It's a tough area for so many of us because, again, we see wrong because if you have the spirit of discernment, you see so much in so many different people and so many different avenues. So it's one of those things where you really got to be sensitive to the voice of God, when to intercede, when to, you know, impede, or when to just step back and allow God to be God in that individual's life. Because God is all sufficient. His grace is sufficient even for that person who is stumbling. And believe it or not, when we become rescuers, that can be a dangerous thing. So we really got to be sensitive to what God is trying to do in that individual life. We don't want people to be codependent or always looking to a natural voice, but we really want God to be God, and he'll give you the cues as to how to approach the situation.
Amen. Yes. So discernment is key, being spiritually discerning. But sometimes, go ahead, Tina Michelle. Pastor Anthony, I want to just keep you on the air. Tina Michelle, you had something else that you wanted to say.
I wanted to say also, adding to what he said, if it is God, then you better go ahead and do it.
Yes.
Not because it's about you or anything, is that person's life is in the balance. I had a situation once where there was a brother, I guess people were talking about the fact that he's caught up in sexual sin and pornography and everything else. And then I'm here having a chat with him in the cafe at the church. And then we just had this, he just, you know, I think he was hitting on me, but I just sort of ignored it. And we started to discuss sin. And I just gave it to him. I said, you know, God told me to stop eating chocolate for a minute. And I just kept eating that chocolate. Because the more someone said don't to me, the more I wanted it. And that's where the enemy works as a secret sin. It could be a toothpick. It could be anything. But if God is telling you to do it, you just got to go ahead and obey. But the thing is, sin is sin is sin is sin. And I'm not really sure about all his details. I'm just sitting there talking to him. I said, I don't care if it's pornography or sex or lying, smoking or eating a Hershey bar. It's all sin. It's all covered under the blood. It's not a big deal. Go to God. She got it. And I'm talking generally. This man was totally delivered from pornography addiction just because I said what was on my heart to say, not ministering to him directly, just telling my business.
Right, because
he
God's
got
word.
Delivered.
Right, because God's word will do what he sends his word to do. And speaking of, you know, about lying, I also actually had an experience with a woman who lied a lot. And she lied so much, but I knew she was lying, you know, by the spirit of discernment, because I have that. But I did not have proof that she was lying, you know, because her lies sounded so true that it was hard to know the truth. A lie with her. She lies that well. That's how well she lied. And she was a friend of mine from before I was saved again until after I was saved. And once I got saved, I had no tolerance for the lie anymore. Mm-hmm. And God kept telling me, you have to tell her, because God lies. Lies are an abomination to him, just like homosexuality is an abomination to him. So God hates lies. You know, he doesn't hate the liar, just like he doesn't hate the homosexual, nor does he hate the one who's indulging in pornography, but he hates the sin. God still hates the sin. And he had been pulling on me to say something to this woman. And one Sunday she joined the church and she lied, told me that somebody had died. And this was a common thing for her to say that somebody had died. They had not died. Wow. Grandmother died like 5 times. And we used to laugh about it. And God told me it's not funny anymore. You know, it's not funny anymore, because a lie is a lie is a lie, and that's an indication of an underlying sickness that person had. And I confronted her about it. I actually went and I checked up. I said, God, I need proof. And he told me to call the lady whose mother has supposed to die. And I called the lady, found out that the lady's mother was well and fine, alive and kicking. And that Sunday, as I drove the woman to church, she said, I'm so tired. I just flew back in from the funeral. And I told her, I said, I spoke to Jackie, and I know that her mother is not dead. And this woman continued to lie. Can you believe that she continued to lie? Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is sometimes, And that was the end of our relationship, you know, after that, and she's no longer in my life. But sometimes you just got to call a spade, but you need discernment. You need to know that this is what is you're really saying before you even say anything, and then you got to proceed with caution, because people will hate you when you tell them the truth. People will hate you when you pull them out on the carpet and say, look, you got to stop this. But sometimes, Tina Michelle, you said this man was delivered immediately from pornography. So, you know, sometimes God will do that, but other times, listen to me and listen well. Other times, there's a spirit who resists the truth.
That's
to the
right.
point
it's
where
true.
It's a spirit of deception that has been so caught up.
Mm-hmm.
In their own spirit, you're in. Sometimes you're in such a stronghold to that spirit of deception that you can't get out. That person can't see the truth, and that is when you go to the Lord, like Pastor Ann said, and
Absolutely.
You pray, and you say, God, I believe you to break the bondage of this person that was lying, the bondage of the spirit of Satan, because the lies are from. The devil is the father of lies. I believe to break that yoke of bondage off of that person's life, and then believe God for the outcome. Paul
right.
said this
That's
so
right.
well. He says, some water, but God gets the increase. Amen. He said it so well. So in 2 minutes, I just pray for those of you who came out of curiosity, for those of you who came because you really have somebody that you need to deal with, I pray that we have answered. Michelle, Evangelist Luciano, Pastor Anthony, and myself, that we have answered some of your questions pertaining to how to deal with those difficult situations when you have to confront the person that you know is walking in sin or walking in a wrong, and you need to help them to make it right. Amen. Okay. So the important thing is that you know that they're wrong, and you have to confront them. You have to warn them. Amen. Hallelujah. We only have one more minute. We want to thank everybody for listening. God bless you all. Tune in on Tuesday to Flowing with the Pastors. Tina Michelle, any closing words as we go off the air?
Just understand that Jesus knows all of our flaws, and he has compassion on us every day. So walk in the same compassion and pray.
Amen.
And how you can bless that person.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Anthony, any closing remarks?
Yeah, Jesus says in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and it shall make you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Free indeed.
And a lie will always keep us in bondage.
Yes, amen. And thank you so much, Evangelist Luciano, for calling in. I know you had to go. God bless you, Jay Strickland. I know you're at work. I appreciate you. I really do. And for all of you, you know, to go through those eight things. One, be discerning of whether your friend is wrong or believes differently. Two, check your motives. Examine your heart. Three, check yourself. Examine your own life and begin to deal with your own issues. Four, ask God for wisdom and how to deal with your friend or that person that you see obviously caught up in the wrong. Five, speak the truth in love, the truth according to God's word. Six, warn of pending danger. Seven, help where you can, being careful not to become entangled in wrongdoing yourself. And eight, pray for your friend. Amen. And that's it for today. We've been blessed. Thank you so much for joining us here on Woman to Woman. Prophetess Singletary could not be with us on today. She's accountable. She's on a conference call at her job right now. And she wanted me to tell you all that she loves you. And she was so sorry that she couldn't be with you on today. Tina, Michelle, and I appreciate you all, and we thank you for being with us. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity, and remember, no matter what you're walking in, that God loves you, and so do we, right here on Woman to Woman at Blog Talk Radio. Tina, Michelle, give me a call, and to all there, God bless you, and we'll see you next week right here on Woman to Woman. Peace.
Amen.